Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LIC's Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have our senior management of LIC led by Mr. Siddhartha Mohanty, Chairperson, on this call. I'll hand the conference over to Mr. Siddhartha Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I am Siddhartha Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC. On behalf of the senior management team, I warmly welcome you all to the results and performance update call of Life Insurance Corporation of India for the third quarter and nine-month period ended December 31st, 2023. The results and a presentation can be accessed on our website and on websites of both the stock exchanges, BSE and NSE. Along with me on this call, I have four managing directors: Mr. M. Jagannath, Mr. Sablesh Pandey, Mr. Satpal Bhanu, and Mr. R. Doraiswamy. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. Dinesh Pant, appointed actuary and executive director; Mr. K. R. Ashok, executive director from the actuarial team; Mr. Sunil Agrawal, CFO from the finance team; Mr. Ratnakar Patnaik, executive director, investment front office and CIO; Mr. K. Seshagiridhar, executive director, investment back office from the investment team; Mr. R. Sudhakar, executive director, marketing and CMO; Mr. Hemant Buch, executive director, bank assurance; Ms. Manju Bagga, executive director, pension and group business; Ms. Anjuvala Purushottam, executive director, CRM, claims, annuities; Ms. Rachna Khare, executive director, CRM, policy servicing; and Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, head investor relations. I would like to thank all of you for sparing your valuable time to join this call today and listen to the LIC team. Let me now mention the key business, operational, and financial highlights for the past nine months of the financial year 2023-24. Premium income: for the nine months ended December 31st, 2023, we have reported a total premium income of INR 322,776 crore as compared to the total premium of INR 342,244 crore for the corresponding nine-month period of last year ending December 31st, 2022. The individual new business premium income for nine months FY24 is INR 38,679 crore, and for comparable nine months FY23, it was INR 38,828 crore. Renewal premium income individual business for nine months FY24 is INR 171,040 crore as compared to INR 161,601 crore for nine months FY23. Therefore, for nine months ending December 31st, 2023, our total individual premium income, including renewal, is INR 209,719 crore as compared to INR 204,229 crore for nine months ending December 31st, 2022. As measured by total individual premium, we have grown by 4.64% on year-on-year basis. The group business total premium income for nine months ended December 31st, 2023, is INR 113,057 crore, comprising of new business premium of INR 108,796 crore. In comparison, for nine months ended December 31st, 2022, last year the group business total premium income was INR 141,815 crore and comprised new business premium of INR 137,240 crore. Therefore, for nine months ended 31st December 2023, total group premium has declined by 20.28% as compared to similar period of previous year. Hence, our overall premium for 9 months ended December 31st, 2023 has registered a decline of 5.69%. Our market share by first year premium income is 58.90% as per IRDA report for 9 month period ended December 31st, 2023 as compared to 65.38% for the similar 9 month period ended December 31st, 2022. If we were to split this total market share of 58.90% into segment-wise share of individual and group business, we would have a market share of 38.74% in individual business and 72.24% in group business for 9 months ending 31st December 2023. On a comparable basis for 9 months ended 31st December 2022, the respective market share for individual and group business were 40.93 and 78.65%. Therefore, we continue to retain the leadership position in both individual and group business segments in the Indian insurance industry. I would also add that we are conscious about doing profitable business. In an AP basis, the breakup of business is as follows. Total annualized premium equivalent, APE, for 9 months ended 31st December 2023 is INR 35,790 crore, which is comprised of individual AP of INR 23,503 crore and a group AP of INR 12,287 crore. Therefore, on AP basis, the individual business account for 65.67% and group business accounts for 34.33%. Further, of the individual AP, the PAR business accounts for INR 20,203 crore and non-PAR amounts to INR 3,299 crore. As you can see, our PAR share of individual AP is 85.96% and non-PAR is 14.04% for 9 months FY24. You will recall that our non-PAR share for the year ended 31st March 2022 and 31st March 2023 on AP basis within the overall individual business was 7.12% and 8.89% respectively. Further, you will also remember on the last call on November 10th, 2023, we had mentioned about our non-PAR mix to be 10.76% for H1 of FY24. At this point, I would like to emphasize that our strategy of focusing on changing product mix by launching new non-PAR products and marketing the same in a focused manner to meet our customer needs is showing results as we had envisaged. While we have shared non-PAR mix for the period of 3 months, 6 months, 9 months as a disclosure, you can very well arrive at your own estimates of how the successive months and quarters are getting better for us on this aspect since we have been listed. Profit after tax. The profit after tax for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023 was INR 26,913 crore as against INR 22,970 crore for the 9 months ended 31st December 2022. The current 9 month period profit includes the transfer of an amount of INR 21,461 crore net of tax pertaining to the accretions on the available solvency margin from non-PAR to shareholders account. The amount of 21,461 crore INR comprises of INR 7,692 crore for the quarter ended 31st December 2023 besides INR 6,277 crore and INR 7,492 crore for the quarter ending 30th June 23 and 30th September 2023 respectively. At this point, I must highlight that the 9-month profit of FY24 is not comparable to the published 9-month profit figures of FY23 Therefore, I will request our CFO, Mr. Sunil Agrawal, to provide details after my opening remarks and before the start of the Q&A session today. VNB and VNB margins. Value of new business is INR 5,938 crore for the 9 months ended December 31st, 2023, as compared to VNB of INR 5,478 crore for the 9 months ended December 31st, 2022. As you can see, the VNB has registered an increase of 8.40% on year-on-year basis. Further, the net VNB margin for the 9 months FY24 is 16.6% as compared to 14.6% for 9 months ended December 31st, 2022. Hence, the VNB margin has expanded by 200 basis points on a year-on-year basis. In comparison, you will also remember that our VNB margin for first 6 months of FY24 ended September 30th, 2023 was 14.6%. Therefore, the 9 months ended December 31st, 2023 results also demonstrate the positive impact of changing product mix in Q3 of FY24 when new products have been launched. Solvency ratio. The solvency ratio as on December 31st, 2023 improved to 1.93 as against 1.85 on December 31st, 2022. Assets under management. AUM as on 31st December 2023 grew by 11.98% year-on-year to INR 49,66,371 crore as compared to INR 44,940 crore as on December 31st, 2022. Product mix and new product launches. Now I would like to inform about new product launches. In line with our strategy of increasing the proportion of the non-par business, we launched new non-par products during the first 9 months of FY23-24 to cater to customer requirements, namely LIC's Dhanvriddhi Plan, LIC's Jivan Kiran Plan, LIC's Jivan Utsav Plan, and LIC's Group Post-Retirement Medical Benefit Plan, respectively. Number of policies sold. During the 9 months ended December 31st, 2023, we sold 1.25 crore new policies as compared to 1.28 crore policies in the 9 months ended December 31st, 2022, registering a marginal decline of 2.6% over the corresponding period of last year. Agency workforce. As on December 31st, 2023, the total number of agents was 13.74 lakhs as compared to 13.23 lakh agents as on 31st December 2022. The market share by number of agents as on 31st 2023 stands at 49.67% as against 52.3% for December 31st, 2022. Therefore, we have a net addition of approximately 51,000 agents in last 1 year. On number of policies sold basis, the agency force has sold 1.21 crore policies during the 9 months ended December 31st, 2023 as compared to 1.24 crore policies during the corresponding period of last year, registering decline of 2.39%. Therefore, more than 96% of our policies for the first 9 months of FY24 were sold by our agency force. Even on premium basis, approximately 96% of new business premium came from our agency channel for 9 months FY24. Contribution of banca and alternate channel. During the 9 months ended December 31st, 2023, other channels, banca and alternate channels, collected new business premium aggregating 1,423 crore, which was 1,355 crore for 9 months ended 31st December 2022, registering a growth of 5.02% on year-on-year basis. With this, the share of banca and alternate channel has increased to 3.69% for 9 month period ended 31st December 2023 as compared to 3.50% for similar period of last year. Our overall expense ratio stands at 15.28% for the 9 month ended December 31st, 2023 as compared to 15.26% for the same period last year. As you can see, the increase was very, very marginal, 2 basis points on year-on-year basis. Persistency. On premium basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month for 9 months FY24 stands at 78%, 71.92%, 67.28%, 64.92%, 62.40% respectively, as compared to 77.61%, 71.32%, 68.31%, 64.70% and 62.73% respectively for 9 months FY23. On number of policy basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month for 9 months FY24 stands at 67.22%, 58.59%, 54.80%, 52.01% and 50.23% respectively, as compared to 64.99%, 59.06%, 55.32%, 52.45% and 51.42% respectively for 9 months FY23. Operational efficiency and digital progress. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 7,84,856 policies through this app during the 9 months ended 31st December 2023 as compared to 5,31,792 policies for the comparable period ending December 31st, 2022. Thereby registering a growth of 47.59% on year basis. I feel very happy to let you know that more and more agents are adopting to do business on Ananda. We had also announced during the last call that we have started a digital transformation project called DIVE, Digital Innovation and Value Enhancement. And that we have taken on board a top reputed international consulting firm for the project. Claims. On the claims front, during 9 months FY24, we have processed 1,38,02,767 number of claims, which includes 1,32,04,597 maturity claims. On an amount basis during 9 months FY24, maturity claims were INR 1,30,222 crore and the death claims were INR 16,288 crores. On a comparable basis for 9 months FY23, maturity claims were 1,13,936 crore and death claims were INR 17,350 crore. Therefore, the death claims are lower by 6.12% and the maturity claims are higher by 14.29% on a year-on-year basis. In summary, I would like to make 3 points. First, our efforts towards changing our product mix are succeeding and we have been able to increase our non-par share within the individual business to 14.04%, which is a significant increase from 7.12% around the time of our listing. Secondly, we are able to launch products that are competitive, meet customer expectation and the needs of various marketing intermediaries and channels. Finally, our sharp focus on enhancing margins in the business is also yielding results, as is evident in the 200 basis points increase in VNB margin to 16.6% on a year-on-year basis. Before I close my opening remarks, I would like to share that the board has approved an interim dividend of Rs. 4 per share in its meeting held on 8th February 2023. We are thankful to our customers, shareholders, employees, agents, marketing channels for their faith and trust in us. We remain committed to maintaining our leadership in the market while delivering superior value to all our stakeholders. Thank you very much. Before we open the floor for questions, I would like to invite the CFO, Mr. Sunil Agarwal, to explain the profit numbers, especially with respect to the comparable numbers for similar period last year. Sunil.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. The profit figures for the quarter are comparable. The profit figure for the quarter, 9,444 crore, is comparable with the quarterly profit of last year, 6,334 crore, which is a 49% increase. The profit number for 9-month period ended December 2023 is not comparable with the 9-month period ended in the previous year, because the previous year included accretion of ASM for the quarter ended 31st March 2022 also, which amounted to ₹4,542 crore. So if we remove that from 22,969 crore, the profit for 9 months, the comparable profit for the 9-month period 31st December 2022 is 18,427 crore, which is comparable to the profit for 9-month period ended December 31st 2023, which is 26,913 crore, which is a 46% increase in profit, comparable profit. Thank you.
Thank you. We now invite questions.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sujit Jain from Bajaj Allianz. Please go ahead.
Mr. Mohanty and team, our compliments on a great set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to check with you the sustenance of this VNB margin going into Q4, and what would be the guidance for FY25 and over medium term, and if not guidance, in terms of your aspiration, how VNB margins will pan out next year and in the medium term, let's say over a period of 3 years?
Actually, it would not be appropriate to guess any specific figure, but as you observe, whatever commitment we made during listing, we are in line with achieving our commitment. From 14.4% to 16.6% now, and you see the product mix, we are launching high margin products. And it is not only for shareholder, but first we keep in mind customers' interest. So those products get traction in the market, and in coming days we will continue this effort. And a margin, my sense is it will definitely improve and it will be competitive in the market in coming days.
Okay. And you have, sir, mentioned in a variety of your interactions in post-listing about, improving on three vectors. And in the initial commentary, you've given the progress on these three vectors as well, which is product mix, channel mix, and digital intervention. Specifically on product mix and channel mix, you've given numbers. But directionally, where do you see LIC going in FY25 on these two vectors, product mix and channel mix?
The product mix, channel mix, you see, already it has already shown result. Product mix, new products we have launched. And if you see the share of AP, share of FP has gone up like substantially, it has gone up, and in coming days also new products which will be launched that will take care of customer as well as all other stakeholders. So definitely this product mix will help not only margin but share and good growth will be there. But at the same time, it's channel mix. When we say our alternate channel, we are focusing alternate channel, banca also. Banca slight increase is there from 3.5 to 3.7. So further growth we expect. We will focus more on altered channel in coming days. But more than that, digital marketing also we are focusing. Where our share is very, very negligible, less than 1%. So because we have taken this initiative project DIVE, Digital Innovation and Value Enhancement. So coming days, customers also will be happy to contact directly LIC and consider their policy decision, whatever policy they want to take, they can take. So on these three fronts, already work has started and those are showing result. And it will continue.
But what you, what targets you set for you to eventually say that you kind of met, you know, the targets or the milestones or did not achieve, etc. Especially in non-par share, where do you see it going? What is the target there? And the banca share in the mix and the digital share in the mix?
You see, non-par share, we committed it will be 15% AP share of non-par to total business. And we have almost reached there today. And my sense is by March, it will further improve whatever commitment, we will deliver more than our commitment. And so far as banca alternate channel, those are growing. If you observe insurance companies which are doing well in banca, they are owned by banks. So they have that advantage. We tie up with many banks and gradually, slowly it is going up. And if you see volume-wise also, our position will be, I think, sixth or seventh total volume of premium in banca. So that way progress will be there, but more than that we will focus on a technology part, not only for customer acquisition, because that is one area we are focusing more and more coming days, that will be our focus, but also all our aspects, total, servicing everything, so that customer never comes to our office sitting at home, he can take policy, he can get all services, his policy, he can get his loan, he can get his claim, he can change nomination, assent, all everything. So that is our objective.
Sure, sir. Many thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anuj Singla from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Mr. Mohanty, the first question is with regards to the strong performance in the North.
Anuj, sorry to interrupt you. Can you please
louder, please?
Yeah.
Is it better?
Yeah, yes,
thank you.
Yeah, so sir, my first question is with regards to the non-par mix. So what we have seen is you had this product Jeevan Utsav, where I think which has done very well. Would it be possible to share what kind of premium you collected in that product? And the second part is when you look at the pipeline for 4Q, do you have any similar product which can support strong growth on the non-par momentum, you know, continuing in the 4Q as well?
You see, we have collected almost more than 1,000 crore under this product only, Jeevan Utsav. And if you see, recently we have launched, of course, this last month, LIC Index Plus. Then Jeevan Dhara 2, Deferred Annuity Plan also, which we have launched. So all these products are very competitive. You compare return and other aspects. So these are competitive products. And also, we have revised the rates in our annuity products like Jeevan Akshay 7 and Jeevan Shanti. So these rates have been, upward revision has been done. And we have also one single premium product. Here also we have enhanced the rate, return rate, Dhan Vriddhi. So all these products will get traction in the market and we expect a very high performance during a couple of days left for the year to close.
Okay. So, sir, just to circle back on the question which the previous participant also asked, when you look at the margin outlook, the third quarter, which we tend to look at by taking out the 6 months number from the 9 months, is a very strong performance on the VNB margin side. When we look at the outlook for the next quarter or the next year per se, do you think this is sustainable on that part? You alluded to the non-par savings mix continuing to improve, but it's a very strong performance in this quarter, and I think driven by this Jeevan Utsav product. So do you think this kind of margins we can sustain, and given the annuity repricing which you have done, does it pose a risk to the margins in the next couple of quarters?
You see, if I say, definitely we are very much positive on this aspect, particularly if you see Jeevan Utsav product that has taken care of all segments. That has not only taken care of customers by giving high and competitive return, but also intermediaries and at the same time shareholder. And Jeevan Dhara to other products also, I am very much confident in coming days we will sustain that margin. I would request our appointed actuary, Mr. Dinesh, he will throw light further.
Yes.
Sustenance.
Yeah, good morning. We need to appreciate one point that yes, it is a very conscious strategy that corporation has taken about rebalancing, and despite of the fact that last year revision in annuity rates happened twice, but the overall, VNB margin, even for the 9-month period has, not come down for us. That has been possible because of the business mix. While yes, certain products have given us head start on this thing, what we are looking forward is not over-dependence on any single product. It's the entire mix of the products is going to sustain this momentum. But we are largely also looking not only in the context of margins, but also in context of the overall absolute VNB that is important to us. So the entire strategy is going to be very dynamic, in which the growth and the reasonable level of margins coupled together would drive towards the VNB and overall profitability.
Got it. And lastly, sir, on the protection side, the performance, again, there is a decline on a YY basis. What steps are we taking in terms of maybe product and distribution to address that? Thank you.
Yeah, on the protection side also, you would appreciate that industry overall, and we also had revised our, premium rates in order to make them sustainable, viable. It's very interesting that even when the number growth is less, actually the margins has improved there, and even the VNB has improved there. But again, we are looking it very closely. We are trying to, in fact, to be fair, that in our group side protection also, we have done very good. It's a very good growth has happened, and the margins have also significantly improved. Loss ratios have come down there. So again, we are continuously looking into this segment, and we'll look into, which are the elements where we can look into reviewing the pricing also. In fact, we also look forward to some more variants of term products to be worked on and considered in the coming quarter.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and good set of performance. A couple of questions. The first one is more on the margin side. So if I see two parts of margin, I mean the non-par and par, at such a large scale, the par margin YOY is appearing to be declining slightly. Now, what explains that? Because generally par margins are stable and even interest rates have been broadly stable. So what explains minor drop in the par margin? And on the non-par side, I mean, including ULIP, a 63% kind of a margin with a little help from protection looks pretty strong. Now, that would mean that in terms of your benefit offering likely would be lower than what your competitors are offering on the non-par saving and annuity side. So if competition heats up and you were to sort of improve, your offerings in these two non-par savings and annuity, do you think that this 63% can come under pressure? Of course, I am cognizant of the fact that at the overall level, your non-par share will sort of increase, but the non-par margins. So just I want explanation that what is causing sort of a pressure on par margins and what sort of a, margin you think that can be sustained in this non-par? That's my first question. I will come with second question later.
Yeah, this is Ashok. See, if we look at the par margins, yeah, we agree that's a small decline in the par margins. But basically what happens is par is such a big portfolio and
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. Can you come a little closer to the mic?
Yeah, it is true that par margins... Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
The par margins have slightly declined. That is basically because there is an inherent the business mix change in the within the power, because there are certain products which are having a higher profit signature compared to other products. So normally what happens is in its power portfolio that fluctuation do happen over a period of time. And it is also aided by the movement in the risk-free rates. Putting it all together, that the minor decline in the power margins was expected. Looking at the non-power and the annuity, see what happens is the profitability and the competition are two sides of the coin. So if the competition increases, automatically the profitability is expected to reduce. But the art is in balancing the two, and I think we have successfully done that in our recently launched products, because we could able to garner a good amount of premium from the market, and also we could sustain growth in the margins.
Okay, so just on par, just to confirm, YOY 9 month margins or this minor dip, is it not caused by any sort of a change on operating side, either the expenses or the persistency behavior, or were some contribution coming out of these two factors as well?
Yeah, see, there is a little bit, but the contributions are very minor compared to the upside that we get on the business mix. If you look at the margin walk we have given, the two big impacts are, one is on the business mix, which already shared by our chairman, that there is a good movement in the non-par share, including ULIP that has added to that. And in we have repriced the annuities twice during the year, increasing the benefits, naturally pushing the margins out. But the other components are very minor in nature. The major impact, the contributor for the assumption changes are in RFR change, which is pushing it south. And there has been some certain updates in the mortality, looking at the recent experience, and which is pushing it slightly up. So putting it all together, the single one driver is the business mix, as our chairman pointed out.
Okay, sir. And my second question is again more sort of an explanation I will require from your side. If we see the you know, the segmental surplus that you give in your you know, results, the par surplus, you know, that the par gap accounting surplus has been in the deficit for last few quarters, and also last year in the 9 months you were building, I mean, the FFA almost in the tune of roughly 9,000 crore, whereas in this 9 months you have taken out the FFA and, you know, 3,000 odd crores. So what is sort of explaining this, you know, that again, I'm not looking just one quarter, I'm looking 9 months as a whole. What is explaining this sort of you know, this your change in how you are sort of a building FFA versus withdrawing, and also the surplus emerges in par that seems to be negative for last 9 months?
Yeah, if I would like to explain that, actually you would appreciate that generally insurance companies would be, you know, building on the FFAs for the purpose, either for, you know, the purpose of requirement of solvency, or when there's no certainty about certain amount to be distributed at any particular point of time. You would have seen from the results of the corporation, corporation has been going from strength to strength as far as the solvency is concerned. In fact, you know, some years back we used to have around 1.65 or so, today we are standing at 1.93. In this year we had taken calibrated decision right from the first quarter, that in which, you know, the certain amounts which were sitting in the FFA, we used for the, you know, provisions for the liability purposes, because that has to be routed through the revenue account. That's why you are seeing deficit. Actually, it's not a deficit. It's a balance sheet. If this entry is seen, it is only adjustment against FFA. Frankly, going towards the end of the year, FFA should keep on reducing, because one gets more certainty about how the distribution should happen. So right now our strategy is not to go overboard on FFA. It's not a requirement. And we expect this, you know, deficit which is seen, actually, there is no deficit as such. It is only that the amount which was there in the FFA around 4,000 crores plus, if you say still it is 1,000 crores plus. So that amount has been adjusted towards making greater provisions in the actual liability side of it. And because the entry passes through the revenue account, therefore it looks like negative. Otherwise, there is no negative. The fund is very much in the plus and, you know, it's very surplus position itself. So FFA, we do not want to have much, but certain amount of cushion is required in any fund. That's why FFA is provided here. Otherwise, it's not required for any solvency purpose. We would like to make actual distribution of whatever surpluses are there in the past fund also.
Lastly, I can just speak because you raised the point solvency and very valid point that at 193% you are sort of having very strong solvency, and also to add to that a very large amount of unrealized gains that is not right now counting towards your available solvency margin. In that backdrop, I mean, should we expect the dividend? Of course, you have announced rupees 4 per share. Going forward, I mean, in Q4 also the board would likely take up dividend because, I mean, the amount sort of you realize from your unrealized, that is not anyway going to impact your solvency part because today that is not part of your ASM. So, I mean, should we expect, I mean, in the next quarter that the board will be considering dividend?
Let us wait for that. At this point, we will not guess anything.
Board has to take overall call towards the, what is the capital requirement of the company, solvency, as well as the overall interest of all the stakeholders. I think a very bold and rightful decision has already been made by the board. Yeah. And that would be the course of action in future also, in the overall interest of all the stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sanket Gora from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I see your non-par margin in 1H was around 50%, now it is closer to 64%. So I believe it is largely because of Utsav. What nature, the whole life nature of Utsav makes it better margin, and if you keep on introducing whole life products in non-par or longer tenure plans in non-par, do you expect the 64% margin to hold up going ahead or not? That's my first question.
Yes, Sanket, actually, you would realize and appreciate that, business strategy is not there is no single panacea, and it's not that every product just because it is a whole life that is going to serve the purpose, because then it also brings about challenges in terms of sorry, investment risk and, long duration risk also. So it is, that's why I said earlier also that the larger purpose of introducing products, so the primary purpose is to ensure that your product basket is complete, you are able to tap and you are, whatever the overall direction of the organization, reaching every policyholder, ensuring for all policies. That's the larger purpose that, customer-oriented solutions are provided. So it is not only from the margin point of view that products are introduced. So this product, it took us a longer time to, design, think around, so that it is a very holistic, approach. And what we are looking forward is, yes, this is a great product for everybody, as Chairman rightly mentioned earlier also. But what, every product may not necessarily be the right solution. So what we also used in the power side also, we already have a Jeevan Umang, which is also a whole life product. And it's a very comprehensive product, that one also. What we are looking forward to is that coming up with a different variety of products. We have, in fact, if you look into, our recent products, we have introduced short term, premium paying term products also. So what we are looking forward is that product should be, first of all, rightful from the context of the policyholders. It should be attractive enough for the marketing channels. And then it should definitely have a value for the shareholders also. So that is what has happened. That's what I was earlier also saying, that, the overall strategy is not just in context of product, but, the strategy around marketing them and, whatever technological support can be provided so that the ultimate value comes out of them. So that's going to be, therefore, all our products in that context are important for us.
Got it. But the margin expansion, what you have seen from 1H to 9 months is largely attributed to Utsav and the nature of the product. That's a fair understanding, right, sir?
Yeah. This is also a product, but there are other products also which are delivering much higher margin than the overall margin that we are seeing. So at a certain point of time, we will have to review our margins also, because then in a competitive market, it's a toss-up between what margins you want to give and what is the business growth, because market share, optimal market share is also a consideration. So we expect that, you know, there is going to be some saturation point. So we continue to introduce different variety of products and continue to review our existing products.
Got it. And second point, sir, if I look your growth, your power business is struggling bit to grow in the 9 months. And whether just because company is focusing on non-power, whether the focus on non-power is cannibalizing into power and therefore it is not translating into overall company growth. Maybe product mix is good, margins coming from there is good, but overall growth is struggling. I mean, just wanted to understand that, is it fair to conclude that non-power focus has cannibalized into power or to some extent ULIP also when the markets were that great? And you're not growing in that piece, in that sense.
The first thing is that when we talk of power and non-power, first focus is the customer. So any product we design, we keep customer in mind and design so that customer gets best of the product. And since there has been directional change and focus is more on non-power at present, some impact has been there on power. Our CMO will...
Yes, as our chairperson put it, there will be some impact on the power side also. At the same time, we are focusing that the different categories of agents are having their specializations and they are actually selling their products. That is why power continues to be the large proportion of business which we are having today. There are very strong plans which are there in power also, which have actually grown. At the same time, during the last year, there were also revisions which were made in the some of the plans in the power business, increasing the sum assured and increasing the ticket size in certain cases. So such increases have impacted a little bit of the number of policies in those plans, which have been compensated more than in the non-power side through the non-power products which we have been launched in the recent past.
Got it. But sir, given this strategy, can we expect a positive growth to happen in FY24 or growth to come back in FY25 in total APE terms? Or you are okay with not growing as significantly but mix changing and resulting in the margin?
No. Definitely we would like, our growth trajectory to be there. In fact, it is already on track to that. And, it will be... the AP growth will also continue to be our driver. So that's very much on the focus. And that if you see quarter to quarter, that situation has improved. In fact, in the individual side, it is already, there is an AP growth which is already there. So if we, we are looking forward to, having rational margins, margin improvement, VNB improvement, as well as AP growth. Because without AP growth and a combination of margin, overall VNB won't grow. So that direction is very clear for the corporation. We have to continue improving it.
Okay, sir. Perfect. And last one, just on group business, on overall basis, it has declined for 9 months. Just if you can give a little color on the group business, what led to this decline, whether it is GTL, or fund-based business or annuity. And your outlook on say GTL or annuity, what is your outlook given it has declined in the current year?
Actually, group business, you see, some of the big ticket we could not get in time. So those are coming. If you see whatever decline was there in Q2, that has been reduced in Q3. And if I tell today, it has further improved. So I am confident whatever target is there for group business, we will definitely achieve in the current year. Because we are getting confidence from all our customers, big clients. So they are gradually releasing money.
But this pressure is largely in annuity or GTL or it's more in fund-based business, the moderation in the growth in group.
This is Manju looking after
this.
There is definitely a reduction in the funded business, and that is because funded business is a lumpy business, and therefore some premiums which have come last year definitely will not be repeated, but we are looking into more funds from other sources. And as regards GTL business, it has shown a good growth, and annuities are also continuing to show growth.
Okay, so the moderation is only because of the fund-based business. The profitable segments like GTL and annuity have grown in...
Those are growing.
Yes.
Those are growing.
Yeah. Okay, perfect, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ajox from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, if I just back compute the new business from individual non-par, the new business on the AP side of things, it seems to be a decline Q on Q. Is that what you are getting at?
You see, non-par, you are talking, I will give you a specific figure for 9 months.
Please go ahead.
Non-par AP, which was...
New business.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Non-par AP last year Q3 up to Q3, 9 months 2022 and 9 months 23, if you compare earlier it was 2,213 crore, as against that currently it is 3,299 crore. So thereby we are showing 49% growth in total volume.
Yeah.
And the share also, non-par share also, as I mentioned earlier, it has moved up to more than 14%.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I was talking from the new business mix which you give at a proportion. You give the split of new business mix, and I am coming from the other non-par segment. Probably I can take it offline also in case you don't have the numbers available. But, sir, again, the follow-up to Avinash's question, the others, again, if you split the first half and 9 months, we see that the new products margins are phenomenal, like versus the industry is. So you mentioned that there is a case for you to come off and be more competitive. So if that is the case, how much will you sacrifice on the margins there to gain growth?
We have to maintain balance. Because growth is required as well as margin, both things, so it is can tell.
Yeah, as we explained earlier also, you know, this challenge is always going to be there, and that's what we have ensured, that even in the 9 month period, while we have, you know, previously increased our rates, there has not been any letdown on the mix. So in certain products for sure, at certain point of time, you know, when the competition, no market is, you know, without competition. So there, in order to remain competitive, we'll have to review. But then we continue to introduce new products also simultaneously. Our ultimate aim, if you look at it, you know, 16.6, we have to move from there upwards on the margin side. That's the direction. And on the VNB side, we want to show robust growth also. So that is a very dynamic strategy about rebalancing the margin. But a very interesting point here to be noted here is that when we are having good margins here, the returns to the policyholders are also very good. And, you know, the products have been so designed in a manner so that it takes care of all the stakeholders.
Understood, sir. That's very promising. And, sir, just one question, final question from my side is that sequentially, 2Q versus 3Q, except this new product which is propping up margin substantially, have we gained product-level margins sequentially speaking, 2Q versus 3Q?
Product level margins, every product might not have gained, as I was saying. You know, at certain point of time, certain products would be the, you know, leaders in the margin, certain others would have to be, because we'll also have to look at which are the points of competition, and then we'll have to review our, you know, offerings there. For example, recently, you know, this annuity products, we have seen a lot of competition there. So then at certain point of time, you have to look into margin versus your growth strategy there. So the overall mix has to deliver, and that's the strategy.
Yeah, I was talking from 2Q to 3Q perspective, historically, like 2Q versus 3Q, product level margins have broadly remained the same other than this?
Yes, yes, under the non-par, we can say, you know, they have remained almost the same.
Sequentially, right? Okay.
And the non-par, and par also, when you ask about, we need to understand that when new product offerings are given, the customers can be very common. At certain times, they can choose the new ones. So, you know, this small variations in the participating side also need to be seen in that context also. That when the greater offerings which are not earlier there, now when they come, people with preference towards, they may shift. It's not necessarily because LIC wants them to take non-participating product. It's a customer choice. So these sort of variations from quarter to quarter or a certain period of years also can be seen.
Understood, sir. That's very helpful, sir. That's it from me, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditi Joshi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask questions. So I have a couple of questions. The first one is related to the non-PAR. If you are able to provide some details on it. The first one is, sir, can you please share the duration of these products, as in what is the typical duration as compared to your PAR products? And the second, can you also provide a split of the type of premiums which is coming from these non-PAR, as in split between a single premium versus the regular premium products? And from a risk management perspective, how do you plan to manage the risk from these products, especially from a perspective of investment spread management? As in, I just want to understand your thoughts, as in what challenges are you facing, or if not, is the asset management asset liability matching comfortable at this point, or what challenges you might face in the future? The reason I'm asking is that, as you shared previously, that the mix that you're trying to limit is around 15%. So I'm just trying to understand what is limiting you to this 15% mix, because given the margins are pretty much higher for this product. And just a related one is that as you increase the share of non-PAR in your mix, how will it affect the unwind in your embedded value? Because the EV mix is largely skewed towards the value in force. And if you look at the EV movement, a large part of it comes from the unwind. So this is the first question.
Yeah, as far as you're pointing to that, there is nothing limiting us to 15% sort of level. The appreciable growth, as was mentioned earlier, from around 8% to 14% has happened because that's a strategic, efforts which have been made towards creating larger set of products, which, because as you all will appreciate that earlier, we were not offering many non-PAR products because of surplus distribution mechanism being in a different manner. And now that is being offered, so that there is a natural attraction towards that. That also because larger offerings are there, and there is a conscious effort also on that side. So there is nothing limiting that we shall be at 14%. Our aim is to provide products which are value addition for and good offerings to the customer, and they will pick and choose. And then automatically we will expect, because the people who are interested in guarantees will move towards non-participating products. People who want discretionary type of benefits will continue to take, and many people will like to take both type of products also because they would like to guarantees as well as discretionary. So that is the element. As far as risk management is concerned, we are very conscious about how to ensure. In fact, very line of business wise specific calls are taken. You would see that larger distribution equity would be there in the participating products which are discretionary. Therefore, annuities are matched by long dated papers. Where the cash flow matching is actually in tune with the investment assets there. Similarly, for the funds in the non-PAR side also, the larger proportion, in fact, significant proportion is towards fixed securities, and a very calibrated approach is taken. Their investment market is always full of risk, and our job is to ensure that the proper due risk management is done. So all the policies are in place, all the actions are taken, and we try to ensure that ALM, matching takes place, but within that, optimization returns can be ensured. So that's a very continuous activity which is undertaken, and which is that's why we are taking line of business-wise as well as product-wise approach on what should be the backing effects and how should their risk and rewards be decided based on the available opportunities there.
Thank you. Aditi, sorry, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, we'll take the last two questions. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawade from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I'm looking at your VNB walk, and this is slide 18. And what it suggests is that the impact of product benefits, over a 9-month period, and I know it's not directly comparable, but it's actually down minus 3.6%. And I know we've seen margin expansion, but it's kind of, I'm just trying to understand as to why this negativity is like that.
Yeah, this is Ashok. Actually, Am I audible now?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. See, as was mentioned earlier, we have repriced annuities twice during the year. That is one in August and one in February. And that is the main reason why the margin was lower, but contributing to a lower margin for the period.
Sure. And if I look at the impact of assumptions, right, this is 0.7% in the 9-month period versus 1.9 and 2% in the previous two presentations. So is it something that assumptions have been downgraded as well for this quarter?
See, actually, the major part of the assumption is the RFR change, which on which we don't have any control. And it's a market-driven number. And the RFR is actually pushing the margins by the downside. And the requirements of the VNB calculation require us to update the latest information into the calculations. And we have updated the mortality element based on the recent experience into it. And that is done in sometime in June 23. And these two are the major things that impact the assumption.
And just one small question is, if I look at the average policy term, you know, that has gone up from in the non-par segment, has gone up from 16 years to 43 years. What really explains this?
Actually, the if you look at the current quarter's performance, the current quarter's performance is riding on the product called Jeevan Utsav under Non-Par. And the average term, because that being a whole life policy, naturally shifts the average non-par savings term up.
But I'm just trying to see, you know, first half the term was 16, 9 months the term is 43. You know, probably it means that, you know, your term for Utsav that you sold in the quarter would be like 50, 55. You know, and your average age is something like 32. So, you know, is that how one should think of it? And that's where it goes to like 80 plus as a whole life policy.
Actually, since it is whole life, technically it is whole life, so it goes to the end of the...
And your assumption would be like...
Therefore, the projection period will also be till the end of the contract, and that tilts because of the huge number of business that is being done there, it tilts the average term.
But this is not the premium paying term, it is a policy term.
Policy term.
99 minus.
Policy premium paying term, you know, is generally these are limited premium paying products.
That's it. Sure, that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Subhradim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So my question is on the hedging mechanism. So could you let us know that, you know, now that the non-par has become around 14% of your AP,
Subhradim, sorry, but your audio is not clear.
Can you hear me now?
Clear.
So I wanted to understand the hedging mechanism for your non-par products. How are you hedging the risk now that it has become a substantial part of the book?
Yeah, there are two, three things to be appreciated. That first of all, as far as non-par annuities are concerned, there is not a great requirement for hedging there because, you know, their cash flow management, as long as you can get adequately, you know, matching duration long-term bonds which are available, 40-year bonds, you know, for example, they have been there. So to that extent, the reinvestment risk is hedged because the cash flows coming from the coupons are very well matched to the payouts. As far as the, you will also another point of view, as of now, our portfolio in the non-par segment is not that big as proportion to the overall portfolio. But we already have, you know, our derivative policy approved from the board and we start to roll it out now onwards so that the future cash flows or reinvestment risk can be taken care out of it. As far as the current amount of, you know, volumes are there, they don't pose any threat in that context. But we are very conscious about it. Therefore, already the derivative policy is in place and it will start getting implemented very soon.
So just to follow up on that, so now that you know you're rolling out this derivative, mechanism or so that.
Sorry, your voice.
Because that will come at a cost.
Can
you hear me now?
Can you come to a better reception area, please?
Is this better now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so I wanted to understand now that you're putting in place this derivative mechanism, how would that impact margins? Because this will come at a cost.
Definitely, you know, that's why, you know, we have not gone for it as long as your cash flows, you know, generally derivative would be required largely when there are cash flows that are an issue for an insurance company, more pronounced requirement for them. So we want to have that policy in place and make selective utilization of that wherever we need it. Because this is not only about the cost of derivative, but you know, at times when the interest rates go up. So though many challenges are there in that also. But the option should be available so that whenever you are taking calls or such instruments are, another way of managing that is a duration, you know, management. So in case there are challenges, like we have introduced long-term products, we also are introducing short duration products also. For example, we talked about single PM products. So there, you know, the risk will be lesser because the matching instruments will be available. We want to optimize whatever is the best option, going for the derivative or not going for that. So that will depend upon the cash flows and the situation at that point of time. It's not that just because your derivative policy, you are supposed to hedge everything that you have. So what is our interest rate view at that point of time, in case if the interest rate movements, what are we expecting? So we'll take call based on that.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohanty for closing comments.
Thank you. I hope we have answered all your queries satisfactorily. Please feel free to reach out to us if you need to understand more. Once again, thanks for your valuable time. We are committed to living up to the expectation of all our stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.